Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, rodeo fans. You're listening to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has ripped his last 7 moles, and tonight he's gonna try and make it 8.
Here comes the bulldog.
This is Kat Johnson of KatJohnson.net with Makin' 8. Let's buck.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, rodeo fans and Makin' 8 maniacs. That's right. Time to kick things off on our work week with a lunch hour rodeo show. Go sit back and talk some rodeo with you and try to get you fired up. But I got to tell you, we're running on the short side of things. I'm not seeing a whole lot of our usual folks here in the chat room. But, of course, we do have our usual Miss Shannon Taylor and, as always, Miss Donna Davis in our on our phone lines. Got to say a big old shout-out to you. First off, I have to be corrected. I got up this morning and I checked my Twitter and I found out that apparently – there have been some issues with me pronouncing Robinson Palermo's last name. So we're going to get it right this time, all day long. So you guys make sure to keep me in line as we try to, keep it on the up and up here. We're going to try to keep it real for you, the Makin' 8 fans. And I apologize, but thank you for the correction out there. You know, the problem that I have is I get talking so fast because y'all know me. I love to talk, and I just end up getting wrapped up and tongue-tied as I'm trying to say Robinson. See, I can't even get his first name right now. See, what are y'all doing to me here? I got Robinson Palmero is what I usually say because I just get so twisted. It's just an easy way to go about doing things, but it's actually Robinson Palermo. So, yeah, we're on the ball. We're on top of it. Thank you for the correction there, fans. Like I said, it is about time, I guess, that I get it right. So we'll get it right one day. Looks like we got some more of our fans here jumping on board. And, you know, we're going to give you all a few minutes to get things fired up. If you guys are a guest over here, and we know that there's a couple of you, I want to say welcome to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. And if you guys want to get over there, sign up with Blog Talk. Come on down, bid you a screen name so you can come on down here and chat with us. As we answer your questions, take your comments on this weekend's rodeo events, we talk about some things that are coming up this week. Also, got to let y'all know, Makin8.com is officially underway. We've done some restructuring. We've got a whole new kind of look to it. We're getting some things done on it. So we got some cool things happening. You guys stay tuned to that. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to get things fired up. So don't go anywhere, fans. You're listening to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Makin' 8.
I work a 40-hour week and I earn my keep, and I try to walk proud and tall. I keep my nose to the grind, I don't get behind, and I don't back up at all. Well, my neck's a little red, my collar's blue, I sip a little coffee and I drank a little blues. I'm a all-American country boy. I'm my daddy's spitting image and my mama's pride and joy. Nothing down home that I really don't enjoy. I'm a all-American country boy. I drive a pickup truck and I don't pass the buck, and I always speak my mind. I'm hooked on TV, roll AIDS and DCs, and I know how to have a good time. I'm a little bit rowdy and a little bit tame. Ain't no way I'm ever gonna change. 'Cause I'm a all-American country boy. I'm my daddy's spitting image and my mama's pride and joy. Ain't nothing down home that I really don't enjoy. 'Cause I'm a all-American country boy. Guitar. Well, I must admit that I'm mellowed a bit. Father time can slow you down. I'm still doing all I used to do. It just takes a little longer now. I'm a all-American country boy. Yeah, I'm my daddy's spitting image and my mama's pride and joy. Ain't nothing down home that I really just don't enjoy.
Radio announcer Brett Weldon, inviting you to join us at Making8.com. No matter if you're passing his time a calf in less than 8 seconds or staying aboard to the back of a mad bucker for 8 seconds, we got you covered. If it's happening in the rodeo arena, it's happening right here. That's Making8.com. Get a grip.
Hi, this is world champion Rob Smith, and you're listening to Making8.com. Be there, be square.
All right, welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Making 8, getting things fired up on a Monday afternoon for you, the fans. Hopefully everybody had a good weekend. I know we did, sitting back watching a lot of bull riding, watching a lot of rodeo, and, of course, just having ourselves a good time. And looks like we got some of our fans finally starting to get things together and jump on board here. Got to say a big old shout-out to you. Had a good time yesterday sitting back listening to the LEC of the PBR from the pit in Albuquerque, New Mexico, as they got things wrapped up there at the Ty Murray Invitational. What a great weekend it was. Obviously, the hometown cowboy, LJ Jenkins, Ryan McConnell, both did extraordinary well. And got to say congratulations to LJ. Just really fired up. Was an awesome deal. Really liked seeing him out there, and it was just really cool, you know, to see somebody other than a Brazilian finally make a chase there and make a stand. Now, LJ was sitting there in 10th place in the standings, and I think that he's going to end up moving up a big chunk of change. I have not seen it. I've also, you know what, while I got everybody here, I got to get over and check my fantasy picks. I had not even seen how I did this weekend, and I don't think I did too bad, but I don't think it did too great. You know, I mean, obviously I had Chance Roberts picked as one of my bull riders, and unfortunately I don't think he had such a good weekend. So, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But, yeah, we had a good time with it. I think we've done better than we have in the past. So, and actually, obviously, Valderon being one of my picks got me up there pretty substantially. Let's see. It looks like Shane Proctor, one of my other guys, Silvano Alves, got me some good points. Stormy Wing only got me one. Big Tex, Bushwhacker, I'm a Gangster with my picks. Obviously, they all had pretty good weekends. So, wow, I've actually got over 2,000 points for this week alone. And my event rank was 2,400. So it was actually better than most, I guess you could say, or better than most of my weeks. Currently standing in 3755, 3,755th place. So I've only got a little ways to go. But, hey, who knows? You know, it's a long season, and my hopes is that we can just jump up there and make a statement the second half of the season. That's what I'm looking to do. Looks like I may have actually jumped up a position, but I'm not real sure. I don't maybe not. I'm actually sitting in 23rd position right now. 2G Bucking Bulls is still in first place in the fantasy group page, the Making Eight Maniacs. Christy is there in second place. So I know that they're trying to make a run for it. Cajun Cowgirl, Miss Donna, sitting in fifth place. So still a lot of opportunities left there to go make some positions. That is my fantasy picks for this past week, and it was better than it had been. I'll give you that. It certainly was. We're gonna have to go after you guys more and more. I got to get this guy out of here. What a knucklehead! Let me see where I can find out how to. That guy there is just. Really posting a lot of different things out there, and I'm not real sure what the deal is, but he was back there last week. I'll make sure we're not getting any extra links posted up in there. Moving right along here, getting down to it in the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show, having a good time here on a Monday. Hopefully you guys are ready for the work week. We got some guests that are going to be lined up for us, checking in with us this week, so you guys ought to stay tuned to that. Like I said, we got some big things in the works. Making8.com is actually underway. We've got the new structure kind of set up. We're working at it. So you can definitely look forward to some cool things coming your way here in the very near future. Now, I got to tell you, I'm a little upset this morning. As I got up, I started getting some teases. And, you know, me being a hardworking guy, getting tweets or getting pictures emailed to me late at night, I'm getting a little, you know, it is what it is, but you can't tease me like that, Miss Donna Davis, sending me pictures there in emails that I just don't find to be appropriate. You know, they're kind of a big tease, and I just, it breaks my heart to see pictures like that come across the wire. And actually, for you fans out there that are tuned in, don't get the wrong idea. It was actually Donna Davis sending me some pictures of her RV, just giving me what for. I'm telling you, that thing just, you start drooling every time you see it. Pretty impressive. And of course, the next thing she sends to me is, can't you just see the Making 8 logos on the side of it? And I was like, well, you betcha. You know, this thing's over 30 foot long. It's got two slide outs. That is a studio on wheels. And you know what? We're going to have to come up with a way to try to get that done. I'm going to have to go lease it from her, I think. But we'll have to work out a deal. But of course, I have to get past her husband, who I'm sure probably loves that RV better than he does his own wife. So, you know, yeah, that may be hard to do. But anyways, like I said, it was a real impressive weekend down there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They also had Rodeo Austin going on. Bobby Welsh really making a statement. I mean, this guy going 9 for 9, you know, 9 out of his last 9 bulls he's ridden, you know, 6 of them being from Rodeo Houston, and coming out and riding 3 bulls at Rodeo Austin, winning the event. Can't say enough about that guy. He's really upstanding. I think he's on the right path to make some big things happen this year. We're, you know, more than likely going to see this guy there at the NFR, especially if he keeps on the path that he is. I think we'll see him, you know, make some strong runs. However, I got to tell you, you know, there's some guys there in front of him that are really making a statement as well. You know, Cannon Acey, we're talking about some major players in the PRCA. And then we've got some guys like Shane Proctor, who's actually leading the PRCA standings right now. And he's leading it by a good chunk of change. I mean, you know, J.W. Harris is sitting there in second place. J.W. is no, you know, he's no stranger to being up there at the top spot. I mean, this guy's won 3 world champions. He is on a roll as well. So, you know, you're going to look to see a pretty good matchup there in Las Vegas during the NFR. I know we look to be out there kind of doing the same things that we did this year, maybe a little bit better. Hopefully we'll get some things, you know, fired up and worked out. And, you know, be honest with you, I would personally like to be out there and maybe Donna Davis's RV. And, you know, we'll sit back and have ourselves a good time. Also got to jump on here. Wow, we looks like we got a few fans jumping in from all over the place. And if you guys are on the phone lines and want to talk with us, make sure to push one on your phone. If not, we'll just set you. We'll let you sit back and just tune in. But we've actually got phone lines lighting up right now, which is pretty cool. Got a lot of listeners tuned in over the phone lines. Like I said, we've also got a bunch of fans sitting around here on the chat room and always looking to take your questions and comments. So make sure you guys throw some stuff out there at us as we talk about this weekend. Now, the two questions I had last night on the Back on the Ranch show was, one, what did you guys think of Valderon's score yesterday in the long round, getting scored 84? It was pretty much on the low side, but I was wondering what you guys thought about it. Also, going back out, let me just check some of my notes here, man. I'm telling you, it gets so twisted up. Valderon went 84 on Foolish Pride, and I was just curious what you guys thought about that. There was also one that happened on Saturday. Shane Proctor went 84 and a quarter on his bull, and I was just curious what you guys thought about them. If you guys thought that they were, you know, should have been a little bit higher, what you guys thought. Like I said, in Saturday's short go with Valderon on Black Pearl, 89.5, I don't think he was as strong as what Ryan McConnell pulled off on After Party. Now, I went back and watched his highlights even as early as today, you know, and I wasn't, like I said, I just wasn't as impressed with Valderon's ride as I was with Ryan McConnell's on After Party, but I'm not the one with the clipboards there. I got to tell you that I did see a lot more consistency in the judging, though. And you guys tell me if you agree or disagree. There's only a couple times that I really thought that there were some, you know, major differences in the points in the judges. So I really thought that it was a good deal. Christy, see you. Welcome, jumping back on here with us. I got to say, welcome back. I'm trying to see what does FP. I'm not quite sure what FP is. You'll have to fill me in on that. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, or maybe it's just Monday and I haven't quite gotten enough coffee on me on board yet. Let me know what you think. But like I said, we do have our Twitter up and things like that. You know what? I see that obviously we had Miss Donna Davis was out at the McKinnon Wimberly benefit this weekend out there in Texas, and I see that she was saying that J.W. Hart was actually out there working hard this weekend, and that's awesome to see. You know, I was glad to see J.W. made the trip down there in order to support McKinnon. And from the sounds of it, it sounded like it was a really good weekend. I know I saw Mesa Pate's tweets and things like that. She's real excited for how that event turned out, so that's a good deal. Foolish Pride. Well, see, like I said, FP, I mean, you know, if it's anything like TP or, you know, I was having a hard time with that one, so thanks for clearing it up. But, Foolish Pride. You know, I'm not quite sure. I'd have to go back and check the average bull scores on them. You can find them at probullstats.com. But, I'm not quite sure. But we'll have to keep an eye on it. I'm curious to know what Foolish Pride normally does score. That's a good question there, Christy. We'll look into that. Wow, looks like Miss Sweet Al has joined us in the chat room today. And got to say, welcome. Glad to have you here on board. I know it's been a while, darling, and glad you're doing so well. Thanks for jumping on board here with us on a Monday as we get ready to get things fired up for our work week. Looks like Austin Myers getting ready to hop a plane and head back home, and got some word there that he's feeling kind of sore today, but he said he'll be good next week, so you can bet that we'll see him back. I really think that he did well with his business decisions that he made. I think that he did a lot of things that were really just, you know, I think they did a lot of things. He did a lot of things, a lot of smart moves by not taking the re-ride, taking that 49 points that he got in the first round, and then passing up on the short round bull in the second round, actually got him into the short round on Sunday. Obviously, I'm a gangster. It's a rough bull to go against, especially when you got a shoulder injury like his. But, you know, he bared down and got it done, and I got a lot of respect for him. Made some really good rides each day. So, anyways, looks like we got a caller on the line, 513. You're on the Lunch Hour Radio Show.
Hey there, Scott. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Miss Shannon?
I'm doing good. I had a minute, so I thought I'd jump on with some feedback from the Pro Tour event that I went to Saturday night.
Yes. How was that?
It was good. Had a good time. However, I did learn something I was not aware of, that when they were, you know, going through the roster and stuff for Saturday night, they named off a couple of riders that said they elected to come back and ride Saturday night. Apparently, there was, you know, one set of guys that rode Friday night and a different set of guys that rode Saturday night, because they said Brian Canner was there Friday night.
Really?
Yeah, it was my first pro touring event. I'd been to a challenger event before, but you know, now they don't have three tours. They've only got the two. And so it was my first pro touring event, and I was totally not even aware that they would have a different set of riders each night. Otherwise, I would have went both nights regardless. I was not aware that they did it that way.
Yeah, you know what? Most of those absolutely are. Those two-day events are usually just, you know, they'll take the best out of each night and let them ride. So
yeah, they said there were only two guys that elected to go ahead and ride on Saturday night out of the group from Friday night. But Friday night had, you know, the regular six flights, and then they had the short go, and then we had the same six flights and short go on Saturday. So it was just, you know, something I wasn't expecting, but you know, it was kind of good. Paulo Kremer was there. We got to see him dance. That was great.
Great. Who won the event?
I got to see him dance in a while. Oh, you're going to ask me, and now it's just not even going to be on the tip of my tongue. It was a young kid that I actually had never heard of before.
Okay.
And I can't even think of his name off the top of my head. We only had, I think there were like three or four guys that I really recognized that were there. And one guy, I kept saying, I made comments on Twitter that it was just odd seeing a cowboy behind the chutes with dreadlocks. It just jumped out at me. It's kind of odd. But it turned out I had seen him ride before. Once somebody gave me his name, it was Craig Jackson.
Okay.
And he pointed out that he's from Texas. And once they pointed him out, I actually have seen him ride before as an alternate on the Built Ford Tough once or twice. But it was just one of those things that jumped out as funny to me. I don't know why.
In dreadlocks, huh?
In dreadlocks. It was, you know, it just amused me.
It's not something you
would normally picture a cowboy having dreadlocks.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it actually was a good time. All the bulls that were there were Tom Teague and Frontier Rodeo Bulls.
Right. Which is a common thing, especially in that area. Tom Teague hauls his bulls out there. Boyce Knox actually runs a ranch keeping up with the Tom Teague bulls, and they do a lot right there in that area. So they're pretty big time in that area, in those parts.
Yeah, the bulls were along the ABDI caliber, you know, as far as that goes. It was kind of just, you know, I'm so used to the Built Ford Tough events that, you know, if you see a score in the 70s, you automatically assume there's a rewrite option. And there were scores of 78 and 79, and the guys were fine with it and didn't expect a rewrite. And, you know, the scores were, you know, by all means accurate, you know, based on the bull performance and everything. But, you know, it was just kind of different. But it was good. We had a good time. And the entertainer, our Flint equal, I guess you'd say, was Ryan Littmer. Ryan Littman.
Uh-huh.
And he was so much like Flint, it was just funny. Donna and I sat there laughing the whole time, going, oh, that's a Flint move. Oh, that's a Flint move. And, you know, he came out to get the crowd all riled up. And, you know, here I am, my normal self. Donna and I were standing up. He's like, where's all my dancers? Where's those girls going to shake, you know, their booty going on up there? And there I was. And, you know, so we were on the big screen a couple of times dancing. But, you know, it was fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, well, that's good. And I'm glad that you guys did enjoy it out there. I know that we, unfortunately, have not been to any touring pro events this year, but You know, the cool thing is they've actually got some of the guys out there that can enter both days, too. You'll see a lot of guys will enter up for both days to try to win day money on both of those deals, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they usually – I know the better part of it, they usually only take – or they – depending on how many riders they have entered up, you know, will be based on whether or not they'll allow people to enter both days. If they've got, you know, 30 riders or so for each day, then they usually don't. But, in some cases, they'll open it up.
Yeah, so that was just something I wasn't prepared for. I missed to the normal, you know, same guys for the whole event. And, you know, it wasn't advertised, you know, around here locally as, you know, come for both nights, you're going to see different riders both nights, you know, kind of thing. And we elected to go on Saturday night so we could take our husbands with us and didn't go Friday night. So, if I'd have known it was going to be different guys, I probably would have went ahead and went both nights. But there were so many people. There were actually very few people there who had been to a PBR event before because they polled the crowd, you know, how many of you, it's your first time coming to a PBR event. And you should have heard the oohs and ahs when the fireworks went off and the PBR flames lit up in the dirt.
Just
amusing to me as a veteran going for so many years now.
Sure.
That, you know, they were all just oohing and ah, and I'm like, okay. But, you know, they showed the intro video they showed was very interesting. I actually wish they would show it on the regular Built for Tough event sometime or other as even an intermission video or something. It was a tribute to past riders and bulls that have been, you know, so famous throughout it. Little Yellow Jacket, Blueberry Wine, you know, all of them were in there. It was an absolutely great video. It had Justin McBride, you know, had Ty Murray, had all of them in there. It was great. And I think a lot of
current
fans would really like to see that.
Sure, yeah. So, you know, maybe we'll have to drop some emails or something, tell them that they ought to do something, you know. And Jerry Nelson at Frontier Rodeo, Tom Teague, they really know how to put on some really big events as well. So I'm sure that you probably got your dollars worth there. And that's really good. I'm glad. Now, speaking of being a veteran around the Biltmore Tough Series and things, you've got a big event that you're going to be at in just around 3 weeks, and that's the last Cowboy Standing.
Yes, unfortunately, it's still 3 weeks away. I am so anxious and ready for this. I'm a little disheartened about the most recent announcement that they're maxing it out at 5 rounds. That kind of actually ticks me off pretty good. That defeats the whole purpose. The whole, you know,
it does.
The precipice behind the whole thing was, you know, 40 guys ride, and whoever makes the whistle goes next, and you keep going until only one guy makes it. And that's that. You know, granted, they're going to get wore out, and, you know, as it keeps going. But it was my understanding it wasn't supposed to be a scored event. So if they come down to the fifth round and 10 guys ride, how are they supposed to pick the winner? Do they take those five guys and divide up the 200,000? How exactly is that going to work? Because I have searched the PBR website and I cannot find anything other than that god awful.
They have not let on
splash page.
Yes. They have not let on about what is going to take place if more than one rider gets to that final round. I think that what is probably going to happen is it's going to be a judged event at that point. I think that once you get into the fifth round that it will probably be judged. I have an issue with that, though, too. I think that if you're going to set that format, you need to do it right. You need to do it, you know, all the way through and be consistent about it, where if you make 8 seconds, that 8-second whistle, then you're moving on. And if there's 10 people at five round, you know, at the fifth round that, keep going. That's right. Until there is one man left. And I 100% agree with you.
I am fully behind that because, that was what intrigued us so much about it to begin with. And we have invested a lot of money in this trip to go out there. We ended up buying VIP gold shoot seats and buying the high-dollar regular seats and everything. And, you know, airfare, hotel, rental car, the whole works. And, you know, here a few weeks before the event, they're changing how they're going to do it. And, you know, it's not very fan-friendly. I don't know if they're, you know, if they're trying to get more people to buy tickets by saying, hey, you're not going to be stuck here for 8 hours, you know, or if what they're doing, what their reasoning is behind it, or if it was planned all along and now they're just sneaking it out there. later right. saying, well, you know, people have already bought their tickets. What are they going to do, not come? They've already paid for it.
Right.
Who cares? It's just
yeah.
it's very disheartening. And throw in that with the splash page that they've got on the PBR website that is in total, total bad taste. Yeah,
I don't know that it is or not. I disagree with you. I think that – I mean, obviously, bull riding is a rough sport, you know?
But you don't bill it as a bloody sport. You just you don't bill it that way. Nobody goes to see blood and gore at these things. Granted, you want to see them ride.
Now, wait a second.
It's exciting.
I'm going to disagree with you, Shannon. I'm going to disagree with you. You know, it's like NASCAR. You don't want to see anybody get hurt, but and this was the way Jim Sharp made it in an interview I saw with him, is that you don't want anybody to get killed, but if it's going to happen, you don't want to miss it. And that's the kind of anxiety that drives fans within the PBR.
But do you do an event as there's a possible bloody bath going to happen here because of the format? They've never built any of their events
their
this way
intent,
before.
Though. It was never their intent to make it look that way. They want you to see it as a blood sport, that this is going to be a grueling measure for these Cowboys. These Cowboys are going to be putting everything they have on the line for that kind of money and for that kind of pride to be the last Cowboy standing. And so,
I can understand that as well, but I don't want my kids pulling up that website.
You're reading too far into it, Shannon. You're reading too far into it. Really, you are. That was never the intent for them to do that. It was just a matter of imaging, colors, you know. It was a splash thing that came out. I mean, I looked hard. It wasn't like they were showing a picture of a bull rider with blood going out of his head, you know. That's not what they were trying to impose. So don't look too far into it. It was just one of those images.
It wasn't on the website before. It's only popped up in the last few days that they've added that to it. I don't
know.
To me, you know, I have friends who have now started taking their younger children to these events, and they do it because they have started watching it along with me. I personally don't want them, you know, seeing the website that shows this cowboy with blood dripping off of his chaps. They shouldn't think that's what it's about, or that it, you know.
Yes.
Or that they're afraid to go for that reason.
You know, the thing of it is, though, is if you look, there's that splatter, that red splatter all over the background of that image. You got to look a little deeper into it, though. I mean, and, you know, it stands out on the guy's chaps, but really, like I said, I just don't think that was the intent from it, and I think that we're looking too far into it. I myself, when I looked at that original image, I didn't even see the blood there, you know. It just didn't stand out to me. You know, I didn't see it as being blood. I saw it as being part of their image, you know, part of the colors that were there. It was just nothing that, you know, it was nothing that rang my bell. And then I saw the fans' reactions to it. We're getting quite upset, you know. But like I said, I think that we were looking into it. We see red and we think blood because of the sport of danger. That's us making that impression about it, you know. When in all actuality, I think it was just more of a splatter red color that was posted out there. But that's just my opinion. We can agree to disagree.
I love you to death. We will agree to disagree, because if I see red splattered, it, you know, an automatic reaction is going to be blood. I don't know what else. A dang sure ain't ketchup. So,
I understand.
You know, we will agree to disagree on that. But, you know, I wanted to let you know the Touring Pro was actually really good. From the Challenger event that I went to in the past, I was kind of a little skeptical about, you know, the quality of how it would be, and I was pleasantly surprised at how well it actually was. So it was actually pretty good. You know, I was expecting a lower caliber of bulls than we normally see on the Built for Tough, you know, because that's the way the rankings go, and that's, you know, that was fine. By all means, they were not crappy bulls. You know, granted, we had a couple of bad outs, but you have that no matter what.
Right. They're short-go bulls. Now, they're short-go bulls. Were they
caliber higher, yes.
But did you see a lot of them that you probably recognized? Because I know Tom Teague is bucked like Bones and RFD TV at Zebra events that we were at up there in North Carolina.
I saw some... that were normal, like Built for Tough regular round bulls, like on maybe 2 or 3 day event, you know, where they have high caliber, you know, a couple of days out of the 3 day. But I, there were none that I'd ever seen in a short go on the Belt Core test. But it may have been also, you know, with the number of events going on wherever, you know, we just finished up with Rodeo Houston and, you know, we had this going on in Albuquerque, a 3 day event going on, you know, there's a lot going on everywhere around. So that may have been an issue there as well. But I was not disappointed in it at all. I actually would go back to another pro touring event without question.
Yeah. Well, and that's good. I think that, you know, I think that we should get out to a lot of those touring pro events. But anyway, now I'm just going to tell you, Shannon, I'm actually looking at the page there from the last Cowboy Standing flyer there for the pay-per-view event. Like I said, still once again, I see where, it, you know, it could be, but, you know, it's just red. It's just a splatter that's out there. If you look at some of the backgrounds, you look at some of the red that's in there, it talks about the toughest night of the year. Looking behind the bull, you see that red, that dark red. It looks like dirt, you know, or like a red clay type thing. It looks like it, they're just trying to enhance that type of thing. Just my opinion on it, but, you know, I don't know. It is what it is. We'll agree to disagree.
Yes, we will, and that's just fine and dandy. So, yeah, I just thought I'd jump in real quick while I actually had a minute in between cases I was working and give you a little bit of feedback on the pro touring. I did tweet some from the event and send a few pictures here and there. So, there was a lot of activity going on that night. So, and I'll say howdy to everybody while I'm on here. So.
Absolutely. Well, everybody says howdy right back.
In case anybody missed it, I did tweet a picture this weekend on Friday night of my granddaughter wearing the Cat Johnson Let's Buck baby bib.
That's awesome. That is
so
awesome.
She is now styling a Cat Johnson bib.
You're going to have to get some Making 8 Maniac ones out there as well.
I buy that too.
Most definitely. Most definitely. All right, Shannon. Well, listen, have yourself a great work week, and I look forward to catching up with you.
All right. We'll talk at y'all later. Have a good one.
Okay. You too. Bye. Well, I can get back over here to my switchboard. We got callers that have been lighting up here, and I got to promise you, we're not going to miss out. We're going to get to you. Give me just a second because I just threw some things around and lost my I lost just about everything. But, yeah, we got a few more callers here on the line. We're going to jump down to them. We've only got a few minutes left here in the show. Got about 20 minutes, so let's see if we can't jump down here. I believe I know this guy, 352. You're on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
You better know me.
Yeah, I've seen this guy once or twice. Rodeo fans, this would be the one and only Mr. Jay Welker. Jay Bird, what's going on?
Not much, man, at work. What are you up to other than your show?
You're looking at it, brother, man. You're looking at it. All weekend long, I've been sitting back, checking out, hanging out with the fans here on Skype and, you know, just in the chat rooms on Twitter, Facebook, you name it. Just hanging out, watching bull riding, watching rodeo, having a good time.
Well, first question I have for you is I want to know where you were Saturday night for the Brooks Coat Benefit Bull Riding.
You know what, man? We actually had wanted to get out there. I personally did not get an invite to come out there, and that was the reason why we weren't there.
I was just curious. I mean, we had a real good turnout. Chris Stewart ended up hauling some bulls, Cleve ended up hauling some bulls, and I mean, it was just a real good turnout. We must have had, I'd say, at least 350 people there, if not more.
Really?
Yeah, it was
is
a real good
right?
turnout. Yeah,
awesome.
Real good turnout.
That is awesome. Who won the event down there?
Travis Van Eaton won the bull riding. He rode two, and one of Leroy Seaborn's buddies won a second, and then Russell Kyle won a third. I think I finished like a fifth somewhere. They threw me off in short round, but it happens.
Yep,
yeah.
It sure does. It sure does, man. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you're actually giving me a call to talk about it. Now, you've also got this event coming up here May 14th, correct?
Yes, sir. May 14th is another reason I was calling in. Anybody wants to donate any kind of tack or anything for a silent auction, they can feel free to contact me at my phone number if you want to put that into the deal. It's the Memorial Brook Coats Bull Riding.
Okay.
So
you bet.
Anything
you.
They can donate for an auction would be more than appreciated.
Well, let me tell you that we've actually got one of our Making 8 Maniacs here on board with us that is donating armbands that she's getting made up in memory of Brooke Coates.
They've already got. Well, more's merrier, but they've already printed up 1,000 of them. In fact, they sold probably 400 of them in 2 days. That say they say keep on writing, Brooke Ann Coates, and they're bright pink. In fact, me and my coworkers have them on right now.
Are they actual armbands?
Yeah, they're the little rubber bands that they make with sands on them, you know.
Oh, no. These are a little bit different. These are actually armbands that you, like, put around your arms, like around the top part of your arm, like on the sleeves.
Oh.
Really nice pink ones that look really, really good. And Emily is working real hard behind them, dude. I think you're going to like them, and I think this will help support her and raise some money there. So we're going to get them shipped down to you. That's her way of contributing to this benefit. She's been back there behind the sewing machine putting these things together, man, and working real hard at it.
All right, so she's selling it, and she's gonna send them to me for the bull riding, or is she selling them, or
she's gonna donate them for you guys to help raise money, so you guys can sell them for a couple bucks or whatever, and go and help support the family of Brooke.
Sweet. So,
you
bet, man. Yeah, would you give her my phone number or something?
Yep.
Something.
Well. We're working on it, man. Like I said, you know, I know that she's got mine. We talk every day. So, you know, like I said, especially now that we're on Skype. We've been on Skype here sitting back chatting with all these fans, having a great time. But, yeah, Emily will be there, man. She's going to get them out to you here before too long. You guys will have them before May 14th, I can promise you. She's really been working at it, though. She's got last I heard, I don't know what the actual count is. If she's in the chat room right now. We'll see if we can get her to pop up and just give her a ballpark figure of how many she's at. I think she was around the 300 mark, which will make some great little sales. You know, you sell it for $2 a piece or whatever, go to help support the Brooke Coates family, and be well worth it, man. You see a lot of fans out there that will be wearing them. A lot of the bull riders, I'm sure, will wear them, too, during their bull rides.
I'll definitely wear them.
They're real nice. They're real nice. They stand out, man. And, yeah, she's around 300 right now. So definitely make a good deal. She's going to get them shipped down here, and we'll get them over to you for that deal.
Great.
Hopefully it goes out really well, man. Hopefully it goes out really well.
Hopefully. And also, Brian Corson is back on the injured list again.
Is he?
Yes, we went out to the Morrison Ranch there in Haines City yesterday and got on some practice bulls, and Brian Corson ended up getting fouled out of the bucket chute and split his shin wide open. We were at the hospital until 11 o'clock last night getting 15 staples.
Oh, lovely. That's all right. He'll be back riding this weekend, I'm sure.
I'm sure. It's just staples. It ain't a break, so that's all good.
Yep, he'll be back at it. Make no mistake, man. I know that he was out in Ocala this weekend, too, at that pro rodeo show down there.
Yes, he's out Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon, I seen him there in Haines City, and getting his leg mashed up pretty good, but we got him under control and took him to the hospital. Fat me and him had a good dinner last night, and he's coming to the bull riding, so far everything's going good with the bull.
I hear you, man. Well, that sounds great. Well, keep us up to date, man. Let us know what's going on.
All right, Scott. Let me get back to work, and you and Making 8 fans have a good day, and I'll talk to you later on this week.
All right, Jay Bird. You too, man. Take care.
All right, Scott. See you.
All right, guys. Jay Welker there, right there, obviously doing the Brooke Coates Memorial Benefit Bull Ride going on down here May 14th, so that'll be going on. You guys stay tuned to that. And I see, yeah, obviously we've got some of our fans out here jumping back. Now, see, I've got my switchboard and I've got everything kind of twisted back around here. I got to get a switch right since I ended up booting myself out of the chat room. But we got a few minutes left here, fans. We're going to take another short break. And when we come back, we're going to start wrapping things up here on a Monday afternoon. Hopefully y'all are getting ready for the work week and having a good time with it. We got a long ways to go before the weekend, but, hey, it'll be there before too long. So don't go anywhere, fans. You're listening to Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Making8.com.
The alarm clock tingling, ringing in my head. I woke up dog tired, beat down, half dead. Trying to recover from another wild weekend. Chugging down coffee while I should have been sleeping.
Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Making8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Making 8 is a winner.
This is Ross Hill, professional bullfighter, 2008 world champion, Muscle Shoals, Alabama. You're listening to Making8.com, so get a grip.
All right, welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Making8.com, and I got to tell you, we've got some really good comments coming in the chat room right now. I know a lot of the fans right now are upset. Shannon and I were also just talking about it in regards to the picture that we're coming up there for the last Cowboy Standing, but you know what? I've been looking back and seeing some of the comments that are posted out there on certain things that are going on within the PBR, and I know there's a lot of fans that are very dissatisfied with the productions and with the things that are going on. But one thing that's kind of concerned me is that I'm seeing some fans out there making blame that if a bull rider were to get killed or things like that, that it's PBR that's to blame. And I'm going to have to disagree with you. Now, this is obviously a rough sport we live in, but I got to tell you, you go from when the bull riders first got started creating the PBR, the 20 bull riders that sat down and made the PBR, yes, they did create this for the bull riders. In order to make the money that they felt like they deserved to make while being out there. Now, what I can tell you is that being a cowboy that's ridden in full rodeo associations, that it's hard to get the added money to pay out when you're paying out added money per event, when you're paying out for the bareback and the saddle bunk and the barrel racing and the tie down, you know, and then a bull riding. So, you know, I see that there's a lot of fans out there that are upset, but, you know, it's something that we have got to look at and realize that since the PBR was created, the PBR has never done anything to ever put a bull rider's life in jeopardy. Okay, now we need to really stop and think and choose our words very carefully when we're commenting on these sections. And I got to tell you that I'm just getting so fed up. I myself personally have no desire to go back anymore. I saw the creation that I had by posting a comment to somebody else. People took it personally. People were offended. we may have lost some fans from it. And I'm sorry for that. But we have got to stop and look at this, okay? The PBR, what they're doing in their productions are not harming these Cowboys and not putting them in danger. Yes, they are taking away from things that we would like to see, you know? And, yes, they are doing things that we may not agree with, that we think they could do better in order to help, number one, promote the fans or promote the Bull Riders, and number two, make it more fan-friendly. But the bottom line is this. We cannot put blame on the PBR for causing harm to a Bull Rider. These Bull Riders know what's at stake, and this is a dangerous job, and it doesn't matter if you're in a practice pen, just like we had talked with Jay Welker a few minutes ago, getting hurt and ended up in the hospital, you know, Brian Corson, a good friend of mine, you know, or losing their life in a tragic situation like we did with Brooke Coates. The bottom line is the associations are not to blame for promoting an event unless they're putting these people in harm's way, which the PBR is absolutely 100% not doing. So there's some things that we are very upset about, things that have been going on, and, you know, we got to stop and take a look and say, listen, you know, the PBR, the Bull Riders, it still comes down to the bull riding. We as fans are starting to look at all the things that the PBR has given us, you know, and then they're changing things up, and we may not agree with it, but the fact remains is they're still taking the top 40 bull riders in the world and matching them up against the top best bulls in the world. And we have an opportunity to see it. Whether you like what you're seeing, you know, that goes without saying. And that's your opinions. But the bottom line is this. We're watching bull run. We're watching guys ride bulls doing what they love to do. You know? And I don't see it staying the way it is. I do believe it's going to change. I see Christie's comment there about wishing that they would make helmets mandatory. You can't do it. You absolutely cannot make helmets mandatory. These guys understand the risks that are involved, though, you know. And whether you're wearing a helmet or not, if a horn comes through that face mask and horns a guy, he's going to be tragically injured. So you got to look at it. There's nothing you can do other than take away the sport itself. If you want that, then you've got to boycott bull riding. And I, for one, will not stand for that, you know. But the bottom line is this. These bull riders understand what's at stake. They're making good money within the PBR. We've got to support that. If we want these guys to continue to do what they're doing, we've got to continue to support it, whether we agree with what the PBR is doing or not, okay? Because what's going to happen is you're going to end up seeing the PBR dissolve into an association like the PRCA has, and it's going to become part of history. I would much rather go to an event and see it ourselves than not see it at all and read about it, what used to be. So I hope that you guys take that. That, to me, is your cowboy logic for the day. You know, we've got to stop and think about what we're doing. There's correct ways of doing things. I'm not saying don't make a stand for what you believe is right. I'm saying do it correct. There's a right way of doing things and a wrong way of doing things. The right way of doing things is to go behind the scenes, drop emails to the proper people that are there in the PBR office. They will hear you, I promise you. But you cannot come out here and blab and post comments and make the suggestions and turn fans against others and create drama. It's not the PBR that's creating the drama. It's the fans that are creating the drama because of their opinions, and you've got one side battling against another side. Well, to me, like I said, I'm out of it. I'm telling you, don't be foolish in your decisions. Watch your tongue. Do it in a political way. I'm telling you, the PBR fans will hear, or the PBR office will hear you. But there's a right and wrong way to do things. So, you know, it's one of those things. You know, don't get out there and rant and rave about it. It's just going to make the PBR mad, and they're just going to close out what they think your feelings are on it. Like I said, we may be looking too far into things, you know, instead of just looking at the overall picture. But the bottom line is this. The PBR still has the top 40 bull riders matched up against some of the best bulls in the business. And they travel all over the U.S. and put on a spectacular event where we get to see our favorite cowboys going against some great bulls. And that has never changed from day one. That is still the basis. Whether you buy a ticket, whether you get to see it on TV, pay-per-view, ESPN, you know, RFD TV, versus, it doesn't make a difference. That's what we get to see. And that's what started in the sport. We just have to keep focused on that. And if there's things that we don't agree with, hey, send the PBR office an email. And you know what? Talk to your friends about it and say, listen, this is what we need to do. Rather than going out there and exploiting the PBR for what you dislike about it, because all you're going to do is give somebody that may be sitting on the fence, that 11- or 12-year-old person that is able to get online and research and see some of their stuff, they're huge PBR fans. But when they see that negativity that goes on out there, that turns their taste too, and they're too young to make an informative decision about whether or not they want to pursue either a career in the sport or being a fan within the sport. All they see is the negativity bashing that goes on out there, and they have nowhere to go. So let's just stop and take a look before we go out there and start bashing things. That's all I'm saying. I think that, you know, like I said, some of us may interpret things differently. It is what it is, you know. But let's carry on the sport. Let's make this tradition last. Just my opinion, and that's your cowboy logic for the day. So that's going to do it for our show here, fans. Got to tell you, we've got a show lined up tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern Standard Time, as always. And you know what? I hope you guys have a great Monday. Let's have ourselves a really good work week, and let's get things fired up for this weekend. As we know, I believe the PBR is headed to Kansas this weekend. So should be another spectacular event. We're going to sit back, talk more bull ride, talk more rodeo with you all week long. We've got some guests that will be lined up with us. So don't go anywhere, fans. Until tomorrow, y'all get a grip with Makin8.com.
Thanks for tuning in with Makin8. Happy trails, be blessed, and get a grip.
Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of the heavens sing. Turn your radio on.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn